just shoot them ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob in Your Life. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Our video department on our store, we have, hundreds of videos and only about 10 that are produced by third parties. Well, I just watched a video called Such Were Some of You. Such Were Some of You. And I'm going to find out if we could carry this video in our store because it was simply stunning. But, and I'll tell you about it, but first, coming up at the end of this month, November 29th, a Saturday, we will be hosting a seminar on the book of Genesis downtown Denver at the historic Brown Palace Hotel. This is going to be a great time, Saturday, November 29th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's $20 a person, $30 for an entire family, husband, wife, and kids, and it's on the global flood as taught in the book of Genesis, as written by Moses and inspired by the Holy Spirit, and affirmed by Jesus Christ. So what a fascinating seminar that will be at Denver's downtown Brown Palace Hotel, Saturday, November 29th, 9 in the morning. Can't wait. If you can possibly make it, come on out. And as always, with everything we've ever done, if you can't afford it, just let us know. We'll get you in there. The goal is to reach as many people as we can with the truth of God's word. All right, so the video. Such Were Some of You. I was watching this video. My wife was out. Our kids were out. And I was in the second half of the video. And they come home. And they've got, you know, they're busy. We're a homeschool family. And one by one, first my wife sits down. And she says, I got to see the beginning of this. I want to hear the beginning of their stories. And then my 15-year-old boy sat down, Michael, then Dominic sat down, then Zachary is watching from up on the, you know, the balcony up there. He's more introverted. And it's such a powerful video. So what is it about? Well, I'd like to ask the producer to talk about it with us, David Foster. David Kyle Foster, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're very welcome, David. It's after seeing you, you're one of many testimonies in this video. This is for those with loved ones who struggle with homosexuality. It's an honor, David Foster, to have you on the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, so the topic is those who have believed the culture's lie that homosexuality is good and who have been seduced by the lifestyle and then who were delivered through the love and mercy and grace of Jesus Christ.
Yes, we have 29 testimonies in the video of people who have come out of the gay lifestyle because they encountered Jesus, and he led them out specifically from homosexuality as well as, of course, many other sins. But so their stories are powerful and very real.
So if you could, David, perhaps we could begin with your testimony. The testimonies, to let the audience know, the video production quality is tremendous. And this could easily air on Lifetime or any network, except it's not politically correct, but it's biblically correct. So, David, if we could begin with your testimony.
Well, I lived in the gay lifestyle for over a decade. I started out as a child in rebellion against a pastor father. He and I did not get along. He was very kind of stern and very Scottish and no hugging, no I love yous. Kind of a very stoic kind of a figure. And I was a very sensitive kid who needed affirmation, needed to be told he was loved. And so I just sort of concluded that he just didn't love me, didn't like me.
The David, the counselor in the video, the gal with the long red curly hair, I didn't catch her name, but
yeah, that's Dr. Julie Hamilton.
Dr. Julie Hamilton. Her insights were tremendous. She's just fabulous. And she pointed out that perception is everything. And to a kid growing up, it's not only, you know, what kind of a father did I have, but it's also how did I perceive him? So they're both things. Both things are going on at the same time.
Exactly. He did love me. He just didn't know how to convey that. His father had been very stoic as well. So he never had modeled for him how to convey that to a boy. So there was the problem.
And in my family, we had mom and dad and four kids, three sons. And like, for example, my dad spanked us. I always thought we got exactly what we deserved. My youngest brother, David, he always thought we were being killed, you know, that it was just unjust. And so the perception, so easily kids will read between the lines. But also, I'm 55. Could I ask, David, how old are you?
I'm 63.
63. So the generation that raised our parents, they were barely able to survive, to put food on the table.
Right.
We think about, you know, parents going with their kids to their hockey games or their baseball games. That never happened a few generations ago. The fathers almost worked themselves to death just to help their family survive. And so many of us grew up thinking, hey, what's with our dads? Why aren't they more involved? But they didn't know from their fathers, like you just explained. But at any rate, you had this difficult relationship with your dad.
Yeah. And him being a pastor, you sort of get your image of God from your father, especially if he's a pastor, if he's sort of representing God to more than just the family. So I sort of grew up seeing God the Father that way, unwittingly, just naturally happened. And so I was afraid of God. I was afraid he was some sort of very stern disciplinarian up in heaven with a whip ready to hit me over the head at the slightest provocation. And so I pushed God away as well and just sort of went into rebellion, feeling that I was unlovable. And this is really the root of a lot of addictive behavior, alcoholics, sex addicts. Addicts in general have this deep sense of feeling defective or unredeemable. And it's that the pain of feeling that you're such a loser, that you're such a failure, that drives us to find things that will take away the pain, such as alcohol, such as drugs, such as sexual encounters.
Sure.
And so that's the direction I went in. I pursued pornography at first as a little boy. I was possibly sexually abused as a little boy as well. I don't remember it, but I do know that at the age of 9, I suddenly became suicidal and sexually obsessed, which are classic signs for sexual abuse at somebody that age. So,
just devastating. I'm sorry to hear that. David, I grew up with pornography that my friends had. I had a friend whose father was a police officer who died, and his son found his stash of pornography videos. And they were the worst of the worst of the worst, things that his father had confiscated. And we had Little League coaches, two in particular, that would bring us camping, and they would bring pornography, magazines, audio pornography, and alcohol. And this is for young boys, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-old boys. So my life was destroyed early on, and we have a video called Why God Forbids Sexual Immorality, a testimony with Bob Enyart. So I understand the tragedy, the destruction that comes from a different perspective.
Yeah. Wow. That's unbelievable. That's I would say that would be child abuse at this point in my ministry.
Right, I agree.
That they were showing you those things at that age.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree. So you answered a question that I'd like to ask you again, the same question, because your answer was just, it was so intense. You were asked, what was the worst sin you had ever committed? Do you recall being asked that in your answer?
Yes, I was being chased by my father to be disciplined, and I was just, I just couldn't take another beating. He used the belt sometimes, and so while he was chasing me up the stairs, I turned around and pushed him down the stairs, and he didn't get hurt because we weren't that far up the stairs. He fell on the couch, but still, I had pushed the guy who represented God in my life down the stairs, and so it was like pushing God himself down the stairs, and at that point, wow. In my little mind, I thought, okay, David, you're going to hell. You can never be forgiven of this. Mm. And when you decide that in your spirit, that you're unredeemable, that God will never love you, then that becomes fuel in Satan's arsenal to motivate you to just go crazy with your life in all kinds of directions.
And your early life, I think that describes it. You did go crazy in the rebellion of homosexuality. It's somewhat astounding that you're alive today, David, from your testimony. But you're not only alive, you're leading others to new life in Jesus Christ. These testimonies in this video, such were some of you. They're so moving, so powerful. There's one gal, a black gal, who, I don't know if I should tell the story or not, but she was, and maybe you don't want me to finish the story because people have to get the video, but she was scheduled to speak at the Gay Pride Parade in New York City, and she's confronted by the Lord, and she's, whether or not she's going to become a Christian or not. And what a testimony. What an extraordinary life. And her life is one of so many who were saved out of this lifestyle.
Yeah, testimony after testimony in this film, just supernatural revelation from the Lord. He just sort of, it's like he just removes the veil, the blindness over people at a certain point, and they suddenly see that what they're doing is sinful. And so then they're left with the question, well, what do I do now? You know, if I have these impulses, I have this orientation, I can't change it. So what's next? And so ideally that causes them to start pursuing God even more intensely for those answers. Mm.
You have a number of experts. Actually, everyone in the video is an expert. They're the world's leading expert on their own lives and their own testimony. But then you have people like Dr. Michael Brown, who we have had on this show, and just helping to give a solid biblical perspective on sexual immorality, that God made us male and female, and the entire Bible is written from that perspective. And yet there are those who will say that, well, the Bible doesn't speak against homosexuality. It's somewhat shocking that they say that, but we've heard this, and obviously it's claimed often that the Bible doesn't speak against homosexuality.
That's just not true at all. People who say that either don't know the Bible at all, or they do know it, and they're just telling lies in order to promote an agenda. The Bible clearly condemns homosexual behavior, not the fact that you have those feelings, because quite often you're innocent of how that developed, but acting on the feelings and the fantasies, and that's where the sin comes in. When you have the choice between following the Creator or following after the creature, as it says in Romans chapter 1, if you consistently follow the creature instead, and in and in Romans 1, he uses homosexuality as his example of this, then God gives you over to that depraved way of life. Not to condemn you, I don't believe, but so that you'll see how ridiculous and how empty that life is, and return to him.
Hmm. When people say that the Bible doesn't speak against homosexuality, and you said either they don't know the Bible or worse, Newsweek did a cover story a few years back on homosexual marriage, and it was written by their a journalist, Lisa Miller. And so Lisa Miller agreed to be on the show. We interviewed her. And in her article, she said she wanted to make the Bible look like it was sexist. And so she said that the Bible speaks against male homosexuality, but nowhere do the Bible's authors refer to lesbianism or sexual behavior between women. And so I confronted her on that, because the Apostle Paul, as clearly as could be in Romans chapter 1, addresses this, that yes, women with women, like, you know, it's just explicit. And she knew that that was in there. Obviously, Lisa and her editors had to look at these scriptures for this feature story they were doing. But she pulled a trick on her readers. Instead of referring to the Bible, which is the primary source, she referenced a Bible dictionary that had an error in it. And the Bible dictionary is the one that said that there's no reference to lesbian behavior in the Bible. It was simply wrong. So she intentionally chose to report something that was false about the scriptures because it helped her make her case.
Yeah, the Bible's very clear in Romans 1:26, women exchanging natural relations for unnatural ones. And in the same way, the men abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. So it's unequivocally clear that homosexual behavior of male or female kind is condemned in Scripture over and over again. But the answer is also given. Nobody's condemned to that all their life. In Romans, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, the Apostle Paul indicates that people were set free from homosexuality. He says such were some of you in this list of sins, homosexuality being one of the sins in the list. So even 2,000 years ago, during the time of Jesus, people were coming to the Lord and being set free from homosexual attractions.
Wow. And so you have a ministry which is called Mastering Life, the website masteringlife.org. Could you tell us about the video, Such Were Some of You, producing this video, and is it reaching people?
Yes, we're selling thousands of them. It's a subject whose time has come. People are just very excited. There hasn't been a video where the whole story is encapsulated like this one. We talk about what the Bible says, and then we have testimonies from people who describe how they developed their homosexual confusion, what the gay lifestyle was really like for them, how they got saved, and then what Jesus has been doing to heal those things that created those aberrant desires in the first place. So it takes you from A to Z. And we have two versions of it. We have just the regular version, and then we have a leader's version that also includes a discussion guide with questions and answers to ask in group settings or Sunday school classes. Mm-hmm. So it's a discipleship course, really.
The video begins by saying that, you know, of all the battles that human beings are facing, there's one battle that has taken center stage, and it asks the question, are people born gay? I remember years ago, we've been on the air 5 days a week on a 50,000-watt radio station here in Colorado since 1991. And years ago, there was a researcher named LaVey, and he said that he had proof that the, I think it was the hypothalamus, he showed proof that it indicated whether or not someone was born homosexual. And it turns out that his work could not be replicated because he was incorrect. And he had, I remember doing shows on the actual data that he used. And even his own data did not affirm his own conclusion. But in the video, you guys addressed this question.
Yeah, Simon LeVay, he used cadavers of people who had died from AIDS as his examples of healthy brain activity. His study was flawed in major ways. He was called to the carpet so often that finally he made a public statement saying that he had not found any genetic or biological cause for homosexuality. The same with Dean Hamer and his identical gene study. The same with the identical twin study. They both have admitted publicly now that they have not found a gay gene or any biological cause for homosexuality. The whole thing is a myth. What they do know and what they've known for over 100 years is that developing homosexual attractions is the result of multiple causal factors during your early childhood and adolescence that conspire to cause a fear of the opposite sex or one thing or the other. Child abuse being a major one that most homosexuals have in their background.
David, we have, being on the air all these years and in Denver, this is where the first weekly homosexual TV program was broadcast on our local public television station called The Lambda Report. And from the early years of Bob and Yurt Live, we have confronted homosexuality, led homosexuals to the Lord, but we've been rather confrontational. Many of the homosexuals in the testimonies in this video, such were some of you, were people led to the Lord with gentleness and tenderness. And Jesus was gentle and tender where that worked. At other times, he was confrontational. And we have had, we have a DVD called Terry's Call. Terry Johnston from Knoxville, Tennessee, he was dying of AIDS, and he called up my show to let me know that he despised me. And within a couple shows, we got to lead him to the Lord. And my wife and I sent him money to move to Denver because he said all of his, everyone he knew was homosexual, including everyone at his church. And tragically, he got to Kansas City. He was taking a bus and he had to get off the bus. He went to a clinic and he died there. And the clinic director called our TV station and said that Terry's dying wish was to thank the crew of Bob and Yurt Live for loving him and telling him the truth.
Wow.
And that one testimony of so many testimonies of people who have come to the Lord. And so telling people the truth about homosexuality is not unloving. It is deeply loving to tell someone the truth.
Yeah, as long as you have checked your spirit and are doing it because you love them and care about them, telling them the truth is an act of love.
Yeah, and that's a great way to put it, to check your spirit. Lord, search my heart, see if there's any evil way in me. And if there is, lead me in your everlasting way. We're speaking with David Kyle Foster of Mastering Life Ministries, masteringlife.org. David, there was an article in Charisma this summer that you have not only this video has just come out, Such Were Some of You, but you have a book. Could you tell us about your book, Love Hunger?
Yeah, Love Hunger is my autobiography. It's been in the works for 30 years. It's not easy to write your own story. But Chosen Books has just published it. And in that book, I not only tell my background as a fallen preacher's kid, and then I went to Hollywood and became an actor, and then I followed a guru, and then I got gloriously saved in Israel on the Mount of Olives.
Wow.
In 1980.
Wow.
And then went off to seminary and have been in ministry ever since. And the second half of the book tells the story of my healing process and the most important things that the Lord has ever taught me in my 63 years.
Oh, wow. So that book is Love Hunger. I know you write about the Maharaji, that your guru, and that he mentioned that the Gospel of John was written by John the Baptist, and you right away thought, well, something's wrong with this guy.
Yeah, I didn't know the Bible very well, but I knew better than that.
Yeah, that is a funny one. I've never even heard that mistake. That's a funny one. But and you make it clear to those who object, they might say, well, you don't know what homosexuality really is all about. You were never a homosexual. It is clear that you have lived where they are, and the Lord has brought you out of that rebellion.
And yeah, when people say that to me, that I was never homosexual, my answer is, does sleeping with 1,000 men count?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I was a male prostitute for 7 years, and so wow. I was quite promiscuous, and if I wasn't gay, nobody is gay.
And David, that's what I mean when I say it's just extraordinary that you're alive and here to minister to others. One of the very first guests I ever interviewed on this show back 23 years ago was about a 24-year-old man who was dying of AIDS. He died within a couple months of the interview. And he said that he had been a homosexual prostitute, he had been gang raped, and he had done intravenous drugs. And I asked him about transmission, because back then that was, you know, the big news was in the early 90s, how is HIV being transmitted? And he said that the CDC, in his case, told him that he got it from the needle. And I asked him, well, why wouldn't they say you got it from being a homosexual prostitute? And he said, you know, that confused me, too. I don't understand why they wouldn't indicate that was the cause of transmission. And he and I discussed how it seems like they put down the politically correct answer, because at the time they were trying to deny that homosexuality was a dangerous lifestyle.
Yes, it's been tragic the way the medical profession has responded to AIDS. In the past, if you got a deadly disease like that, you had to report your partners. That was required. And they lifted that when AIDS came out. And that's why we have this worldwide epidemic of AIDS. It's because of this political correctness that has resulted in the deaths of tens of millions of people.
Yeah, HIV has its own civil rights, almost like Ebola does today. You know, if Ebola had hit in Israel, we would not be allowing flights in from Tel Aviv. But Ebola sort of has its own civil rights to it,
right,
like HIV did. It was very much political correctness, and it led to the slaughter in America of hundreds of thousands of people. It's like the CDC lying to people and saying smoking has nothing to do with lung cancer. It's like that kind of lie that they engaged in for two decades to deny that homosexuality was a dramatic increase in the risk of spreading HIV.
When in fact, it's still today the number one cause of homosexual infection in the United States.
And the CDC now acknowledges that, and they state that they do not expect a public outbreak of HIV to hit the general population, but instead it's these smaller high-risk groups, which is such a tragedy, of course. David, I have a relative, an extended family relative, young guy. He moved to Hollywood. It reminds me of your story in your book, Love Hunger. Moved to Hollywood as a Christian to break into the film industry. He got a degree in writing, and he has now announced to his family that he's a homosexual. He's living in rebellion. He's cut himself off from Christians in his family. So watching your video, of course, he came to mind, and I'd like to send such were some of you to him on the West Coast in Hollywood, and on the East Coast in Florida, we have a relative who's a very wealthy homosexual activist for many years. So that's two more copies going out with a letter, you know, pleading with them to prayerfully watch this video.
That's a great thing to do. We're trying to think of all kinds of ways like that to get this out all over the world. We've just finished the Spanish version of it and a closed caption version.
Wow.
We're working on a Russian version and a Chinese version as well.
Oh, my. So that when the need was there for this video to tell the story from beginning to end, you guys have met that need, because what a perfect testimony from my own family. They come in the second half of the video and they say, we need to see the beginning of this. Rewind it. But David Kyle Foster, what an honor to have you on Bob and Yart Live. Thank you for your love for the Lord, David, and reaching so many.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks.
All right. That was David Foster. The book is Love Hunger. And the video, Such Were Some of You. We're going to try to get this on our store at kgov.com. God bless you.